Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Third Canto, Chapter 31. The Movements of the Living Entities, Text 16. Gyanam yade taradadat katamasa devas.
Gyanam yade taradadat katamasa devas.
Trikalikam stira chades vanuvarti tamsa.
Trikalikam stira chades vanuvarti
tamsa. Tam jiva kama padavim anuvarta manas.
Tam jiva kama padavim anuvarta manas.
Tapatrayopashamanaya vayam bhajema. Gyanam yade tad adadat katamasa devas. Trikalikam stira chares vanuvarti tamsha.
Trikalikam stira chares vanuvarti
tamsha. Tam jiva karma padavim anuvarta manas.
Tam jiva karma padavim anuvarta manas.
Tapat chayo pashamanaya vayam bhajema.
Tapat chayo pashamanaya.
Gyanam yade tad adadat katamasa devas.
Gyanam yade tad adadat katamasa devas.
Trikalikam stira chares vanuvarti tamsha.
Trikalikam stira chares vanuvarti tamsha.
Tam jiva karma padavim anuvarta manas.
Tam jiva karma padavim anuvarta manas.
Tapat chayo pashamanaya vayam bhajema.
Tapat chayo pashamanaya vayam bhajema.
Gyanam.
Gyanam.
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Yat.
Yat.
Which.
Which.
Eta.
Eta.
This.
This.
Adadat.
Adadat.
Gave.
Gave.
Katama.
Katama.
Who other than.
Who other than.
Sa.
Sa.
That.
That.
Deva.
Deva.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Trikalikam.
Trikalikam.
Of the three faces of time.
Of the three faces of time.
Stira chadeshu.
Stira chadeshu.
In the inanimate and animate objects.
In the inanimate and animate objects.
Anuvartita.
Anuvartita.
Dwelling.
Dwelling.
Amsha.
Amsha.
His partial representation.
His partial representation.
Tam.
Tam.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Jiva.
Jiva.
Of the jiva souls.
Of the jiva souls.
Karma padavim.
Karma padavim.
The path of fruit of activities.
The path of fruit of activities.
Anuvartamana,
Anuvartamana,
who are pursuing,
pursuing.
Tapachaya,
Tapachaya,
from the threefold miseries.
From the threefold miseries.
Upashamanaya,
Upashamanaya,
for getting free.
For getting free.
Vayam,
Vayam,
we.
We.
Pajama,
Pajama,
must surrender.
Must surrender.
Translation. No one other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the localized Paramatma, the partial representation of the Lord, is directing all inanimate and animate objects. He is present in the three phases of time, past, present, and future. Therefore, the conditioned soul is engaged in different activities by his direction. And in order to get free from the threefold miseries of this conditional life, we have to surrender unto him only. Purport. When a conditioned soul is seriously anxious to get out of the influence of the material clutches, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated within him as Paramatma, gives him this knowledge. surrender unto me. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, give up all other engagements, just surrender unto me. It is to be accepted that the source of knowledge is the Supreme Person. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mata smitya gyanam apoanam cha. The Lord says, through me, one gets real knowledge and memory, and one also forgets through me. To one who wants to be materially satisfied, or who wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord gives the opportunity to forget his service and engage in the so-called happiness of material activities. Similarly, when one is frustrated in lording it over material nature and is very serious about getting out of this material entanglement, the Lord, from within, gives him the knowledge that he has to surrender unto him. Then there is liberation. This knowledge cannot be imparted by anyone other than the Supreme Lord or his representative. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya instructs Rupa Goswami that the living entities wander in life after life, undergoing the miserable conditions of material existence. But when one is very anxious to get free from the material entanglement, he gets enlightenment through a spiritual master and Krishna. This means that Krishna, as the super soul, is seated within the heart of the living entity. And when a living entity is serious, the Lord directs him to take shelter of his representative, a bona fide spiritual master. Directed from within and guided externally by the spiritual master, one attains the path to Krishna consciousness, which is the way out of the material clutches. Therefore, there is no possibility of one's being situated in his own position unless he is blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless he is enlightened with the supreme knowledge, one has to undergo the severe penalties of the hard struggle for existence in the material nature. The spiritual master is therefore the mercy manifestation of the Supreme Person. The conditioned soul has to take direct instruction from the spiritual master, and thus he gradually becomes enlightened to the path of Krishna consciousness. The seed of Krishna consciousness is sown within the heart of the conditioned soul. And when one hears instruction from the spiritual master, the seed fructifies and one's life is blessed. Om Agena Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nijana Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here we are getting a different standard of success, and we should take that standard very seriously and understand it is what is defining a different lifestyle and a different goal. Indeed, a different version of success. The seed of bhakti is planted in the heart. And when one hears instruction from the spiritual master, the seed fructifies and one's life is blessed. We may have different ideas of success. Social status, high income, material convenience. Those are all coming to us by our karma, or they're not coming to us by our karma. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj makes the surprising point, Sukham Aindrikam Daicha Deha Yogena Dehina Sarvatra Labhyate Daivad Yata Dukam Ayatnata. Your happiness and distress is already packaged into your body. Whenever I make this point, not simply to a non-devotee audience, but even to a devotee audience, this kind of astonishment. You don't have to endeavor for happiness. Well, if I'm not endeavoring for happiness, then what is life all about? But, Prahlad Maharaj makes the point. Narada Muni also says the same point in the first canto. Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovida. Someone who's actually a kavi, a smart person, doesn't endeavor for anything available in the material universe, whether it's happiness, distress, success, failure. It all comes to you by the force of time. Time is the courier system that delivers your happiness and distress to your door, infallibly. Unless you take shelter of Krishna, then everything can change. What a devotee gets, what a devotee who has taken shelter of Krishna's service, what he or she gets is a personalized blend from Krishna. It's not actually karma. Ordinarily, though, you can rely on time, Narada Muni explains. Kalena Sarvacha Gambhira Ramhasa. Time delivers your exact proportion of happiness, just like it delivers your distress. And although we've heard it before, we should think about it. I never endeavor for distress. Yet distress comes, impediments come, anxieties come. Why then worry about endeavoring for happiness? It'll come to you in the correct quota according to your karmic reactions. So then often, not simply amongst non-devotees when they hear this, but even our own devotees, they wonder, if I'm not going to endeavor for happiness, and when you say you're endeavoring for success, that means you want to be happy. You have an idea that certain achievements, certain acquisitions, certain accomplishments will bring happiness. Either you'll have a feeling of self-fulfillment, or you'll get respect and appreciation from others, or you think that by having conveniences and luxuries, your life will be easier. But as we heard His Holiness Ramai Swami explain yesterday, you're struggling all the time. But due to the covering of Maya, we can't see that we're struggling, even when we think we're enjoying. We think, oh, it's a hot day in Melbourne in the summertime, 40 degrees, but how easy my life is. I've got an air conditioner. We don't understand that this is a struggle. You had to buy the air conditioner. That means you had to work. And then you've got to endeavor to turn the air conditioner on and find the right temperature. If it's automatic, still, you're in a little anxiety. Is the automatic set on the right temperature? This is a struggle. You're trying to counteract a misery. You're all alone. Oh, I should have someone. I should have a companion. I should have a partner. I should have a spouse. Then you have to endeavor. You have to go through various procedures. Anytime you have to go through procedures to be happy, that is not simply life as it should be. What does Krishna explain in Bhagavad Gita? Manashastan Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. We are stuck in the Prakriti, the oppressive material atmosphere, and we're engaged in a hard struggle with our mind and senses. So how can there be talk of happiness without control of those mind and senses? When the mind is out of control, we visualize so many artificial goals, and then with our senses, we try to achieve those goals. But if you're going to get whatever happiness you do anyway, why waste your time in this way? This is Prahlad Maharaj's revolutionary instruction to his demoniac schoolmates. He learned all this in the womb. And right now you're hearing Lord Kapiladeva explain the prayers by the fortunate child in the womb. Not every child in the womb prays in this way. One who has good fortune amidst the excruciating situation in the womb appeals to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in those prayers, the jiva in the womb acknowledges that I'm not alone. This verse is talking about the super soul, the localized paramatma, the partial representation of the Lord. The child in the womb is praying. No one other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Supersoul, is directing all animate and inanimate objects. In other words, the child in the womb is realizing, I'm not alone. How astonishing is the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, who goes with us no matter what kind of body you take. How can you find a better friend than that? No matter where you go, hellish body, pig's body, the super soul is there. Although unaffected by the circumstances that affect you. Of course, there's actually never any effect of material circumstances on the spirit soul. The Vedas proclaim this, asango hyam purusha. There's never actually any connection between the spirit soul and matter. But the false ego is the imaginary junction, the dreamy junction between matter and spirit. We heard yesterday about how people sometimes, if they do think of what their next body could be, if you tell them, you know, there's a next life, you'll take another body, what kind of species will you be? We heard how they choose various bodies. Yeah, I think I'll be a bird. Birds can fly in the air. How free they are. They don't understand how paranoid birds are. Horse. Many people say horse. Horse looks so beautiful. Big muscles. Handsome animal. I once was speaking at Urban Yoga here in Melbourne. Made that test that Ramai Swami was speaking about yesterday. I asked people, What do you think you'd like to be in your next life? If you're going to have to take another body, just consider it may happen. What do you want? Most persons said a bird. Some indeed said snake. I can't understand that one. Why is it, what is so attractive about a snake slithering on the ground? And so then, once the audience, there's about 30 people there, once they got into it, I figured I'll just have a little fun. I just threw it out there spontaneously. What about a pig's body? How many would like to be a pig? Half the audience raised their hand. I said, can you explain to me what's so attractive about a pig's body? Oh, you just lay around all the time. They don't understand factory farming. You know, they're thinking the old-fashioned farming where there's a farmer who's got a few animals and the pig has its own pen with its own mud. And can just lay out in the mud all day in the sun, do whatever it likes, eat whatever it likes, gratify its senses whatever way. So I was shocked. Half the audience, yeah, pig's body, sounds good. This child in the womb that Lord Kapildev is talking about has what is known as Udaradi, magnanimous intelligence. This child is understanding, I'm trapped due to my own reactions. Let me appeal to the one who is the gatekeeper. Let me appeal to the one who can release me from this material entanglement. The same one who put me into Maya can release me from Maya. Remember Srila Prabhupada's prayer upon landing in the USA for the first time? He was just expressing, pouring out his heart to Krishna. How will these people ever be Krishna conscious? That was his first scan of his new situation. Look at them. They're just totally absorbed in passion and ignorance. How will they ever be Krishna conscious? But he said, the same one who put them into Maya can bring them out of Maya. Therefore, he begged Krishna, please make my words suitable for their understanding. So the child in the womb is praying like that. Everything, animate and inanimate, is directed by the Supersoul, who accompanies the living entity no matter what kind of body the living entity takes. You can't find, as we said, you can't find a better friend than that, that will go to you, go with you in hellish circumstances, heavenly circumstances. Yet, that supreme friend is never affected by material circumstances. You might think, how can a child in the womb pray like this? But even according to the limited scope of current scientific medical knowledge, I have seen scans of children in the womb dancing to the music that the mother's listening to. And medical scientists will show you imagery of how the child in the womb responds to various sounds and how those sounds appear to the child in the womb. So what's wrong with Prahlad Maharaj becoming educated while in the womb and thereby delivering such transcendental knowledge to his schoolmates? Because they wanted to know, remember? Prahlad is talking to them about surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prahlad explains, it's so easy, just like establishing a relationship with your father. Similarly, it's just as easy to establish a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's natural, it's organic. But, what does Prahlad point out? Going the opposite direction. Going to hell requires hard work. It's totally opposite of what we think, right? Surrender to Krishna is so difficult. You have to control the mind and senses. You're depriving yourself of all the devilish delights of Kali Yuga. Whereas it almost seems natural to be in Maya, doesn't it? Everything just seems to flow, right? That's the power of the illusory energy. But when we hear from Prahlad, we get the real vision. Being in Maya is hard work. You've got to struggle with your mind and senses to be happy. And you have so many guilt complexes. Why am I not as happy as everyone else? What about the success? Everyone else is so successful. What about me? When am I going to get more than what I have? Or how can I hold on to what I have? This is hard work. We think, well, this is just life. This is the way it is. No, it's an artificial kind of existence. So Prahlad explains to his schoolmates, it's a great endeavor to ruin your life. But to be spiritually successful is natural and easy. So how do we get over this reverse mindset in which we think it's so difficult to be Krishna conscious, but it's so easy to lay back and be in Maya? You get over it by hearing the power of spiritual sound, Shabda Brahman, we can never underestimate. You're actually getting experience through the sound vibration. You don't have to experience in a way, you don't have to get your learning in a way that comes through experience. You can get your experience through sound vibration. This is the mystic potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing Prahlad Maharaj speak, by hearing Narada Muni speak, by hearing Lord Kapila Dev speak, you're actually experiencing in an antiseptic, harmless way. Whereas to try to learn from material existence by experience is a very deadly condition. The path is fraught with difficulty, disappointment, and in the end you never learn your lesson. It's like the illusory energy is saying to us, just go on experiencing, you'll learn. Life is all about learning. Just keep on going. By the time you're in your 40s and 50s, you'll know so much, you'll be a mature person. You'll probably be a CEO by then for sure. It doesn't work like that. First of all, what is the lesson that you're supposed to learn? So many people who say, life is all about learning. It's all a learning process. You ask them, well, what's the lesson? It's all about learning. They don't know. There is a better way to learn, and that is by hearing. We're hearing the prayers of the child in the womb. Prahlad Maharaj heard while within the womb. of his mother, Kayadu. The demigods had taken his mother off into imprisonment because what happened? Hiranyakashipu was performing severe austerities at Mandarachala Mountain. And so the demigods took advantage of the opportunity to make a deadly strike against the demons. And the demons were fleeing in every direction, even abandoning their own children, their own wives. The attack of the devas was so intense. And so Prahlad's mother was captured while she was carrying Prahlad in her womb. The idea of Indra and the other devas was, if the father, Hiranyakashipu, is such a terrorist, we don't want to wait around and see what the son is going to develop into. Their idea was, as soon as the son is born, they're going to terminate him. They're trying to keep law and order in the universe, and you have to sympathize with them. They underwent such horror and terror from Hiranyakashipu. They're thinking, we've got to be proactive. We've got to make a preemptive strike. We can't let this son develop after birth. At least they're going to wait till the child's born. And then what happened? Narada Muni came, and he took Kayadu to his ashram. He told the devas, you can't kill this child. It's not possible. This is a great devotee of Krishna. The demigods, just by hearing Narada Muni's words, they accepted. And they circumambulated the mother who's carrying the child, Prahlad, in her womb, and left for their stations in the heavenly planets. This shows you the difference between divine and demoniac. Just by hearing the words from Narada Muni, the Shabda Brahman, they said, oh, that is the reality. What would a typical Kali Yuga person say in that situation? Well, how do you know? What makes you think you know more than me? You may be flying around the universe with your Veena, but what do you know? We're practical. We live in the real world. You Vaishnavas are just in some spacey realm, but we're dealing with down on the earth realities. You would have probably argued. But the demigods, because they're devas, they accepted the sound vibration from Narada Muni and left Kayadu carrying Prahlad in a room, in the womb. So Narada Muni took her to his ashram and she engaged in his service. And meanwhile, Narada Muni spoke Bhagavad Dharma, scientific knowledge of the Supreme. He spoke it in such a way that both the mother and the child in the womb were hearing. This shows that there is no impediment to receiving transcendental knowledge. Prahlad had that fortune and determination to be able to hear the transcendental instructions of Narada Muni in the womb. What happened later, though? Although both the mother and the child within the womb had the chance to hear from Narada Muni, one became overwhelmed by material anxiety. The other was listening with rapt attention. You would think that Prahlad in the womb would be overwhelmed by the experience of the womb that you're hearing about in this chapter. You'll hear, especially in the next verse tomorrow, fallen in a pool of blood, stool and urine, his own body scorched by the mother's gastric fire. The embodied soul, anxious to get out, counts his months and prays, oh my Lord, when shall I, a wretched soul, be released from this confinement? You would think that should be at least partially Prahlad's consciousness. But no, he's listening with rapt attention to Narada Muni. Whereas the mother was in too much anxiety about when will my husband return? Understandable, but at the same time, look at the opportunity she had to get transcendental knowledge which would free her from all material existence. She heard it, but she couldn't retain it, the Bhagavatam explains. Too much material attachment, too much material anxiety meant she could not retain what she heard. So that teaches us something about our lifestyles. We need to make sure that our lifestyle is appropriate for assimilating transcendental knowledge. Because without that knowledge, what is the value to our life? What is the success in our life? We become so wrapped up in the present moment. That's the religion of the day. Don't worry about the past in terms of any previous lifetimes, any previous karma. Don't worry about the future in terms of what your next body will be. In a nutshell, it's all about significance without transcendence. Your little tiny nutshell of the present moment is what is most significant. What is your income right now? What can your income be in 20 years? Are you happy right now? How are your relationships right now? This significance without transcendence is affecting the whole world, even India. They're catching the bug very quickly. How am I feeling right now? How is my life successful right now? Don't worry about previous lifetimes. Don't worry about future lifetimes. Everything is contained in the magic of the moment. All right, the moment may stretch for 20 years into the future at most. That's it. And you find significance within that tiny capsule, that tiny moment. You find significance. My life has meaning. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Here's my family. We're going to buy a house. We'll save money to pay the mortgage. These are significant activities. This is my meaning. Whereas even in Western civilization, up until 100 years ago, people would consider, I want to be a godly person. They don't know much about God, but still, our Father who art in heaven, I want to go to heaven after death. I can't be too sinful. There was some kind of overarching structure that they wanted to be part of. Now it's like, instead of living as you're accustomed to in a house that has 5 stories, the top 4 stories are all taken off, and it's just the ground floor. It's just what we're dealing with right here and now on the ground. There's no metaphysical conception, even in the primitive Western way. I'm going to go to heaven. When I was visiting my family, part of my family relations, for my annual 48-hour visit. Sannyasi, you know, I can only handle so much. So, as I was leaving, you know, all the family members, they do the prayer circle. You know, they're, you know, very dedicated Christians, according to the normal conception of Christianity. So they had to get me before I left. They made the, you know, they all stay. I don't know, you don't know what a prayer circle is. I'll explain. They all stand in a circle and hold hands. And, you know, I have to be in the circle too. Of course, when I was a young devotee 43 years ago, I would refuse. No, no. But I've mellowed as time has gone by. And so, all right. Yeah, I'll be in the prayer circles. Everyone's holding hands and they're making prayers, which is nice. Our Father in heaven, we ask for your blessings upon our dear relative. And then went on like that. Then each one of them said a prayer. Then it was time for my middle brother, time for him to make his prayer as we're all holding hands in the living room. And Lord, we pray that our brother may find salvation. In my younger days, I would have said something. Bhakti is beyond salvation. We're not salvationists. But no, I just kept my cool. And so that was Western civilization at its best. There was some conception of there's God, there's afterlife. you should get salvation and go to heaven. It's all being destroyed now. What is the fastest rising religion in the world? The nuns. Not nuns like in the Catholic Church, but N-O-N-E-S. None. No religion. The atheists are very upset because it's not like the ranks of the atheists are increasing dramatically. No, it's the nuns. No religion. I never think about the stuff. That's the fastest growing religion in the world. In other words, I can't get worked up enough to be an atheist or a theist. I never, you know. What about skiing? What about surfing? What about going to clubs, going to movies? What about life at the office? That's what it's all about. Religion? God? I just don't think about it. The term given for this rising phenomenon is called apatheism. It's a combination of apathetic and theism. I couldn't care less. Apathetic means there's no reaction from me. It's just not part of my life. I couldn't care. God? No God? How does that issue relate to life? Whether it's God or not, what does it have to do with you? I never think about it. That is the fastest rising religion in the world. So even the atheists are upset. Come on, go all the way. Why just be lazy about it? Vigorously embrace a conclusion that there's no God. But that's too much work for people. God, there is a God. Got better things to do. It's just not part of my life. The whole issue is not part of my life. So what you see is a kind of existence that's stripped of any kind of higher thinking whatsoever. Even in the old-fashioned Western way of going to heaven and not going to hell, it's all gone. It's just being here in the now, finding significance in the present moment, and that's what life is all about. Of course, we know that this is great ignorance. It's a very dangerous way to live. Prahlad is warning his schoolmates about this. I'd heard from Narada Muni while I was in the womb how human life is wasted. Instead of Udara D, instead of magnanimous intelligence, you get Kripana D, the intelligence of a miser. That means you do not develop your opportunity that the human form of life gives. This is still our main preaching platform. Times haven't changed that much that we should drop our presentation about misusing the human form of life and the real value and purpose of the human life. What we're up against is this significance in life without transcendence. I've got meaning. It's not that my life is empty. Look at what I'm doing. Look at the things I'm striving to get. Look at my relationships, no matter how temporary they are. Look at them. Look at my acquisitions. Look at my material ambitions. I've got meaning. I'm not empty. What is this talk about? A materialist living an empty life. Of course, behind all that is still the ghost of transcendence haunting people. In the way in the back of their consciousness, social scientists have pointed out that people have their doubts. They can't be pure materialists. There's some doubting. Maybe there's something more. I don't know. In this day and age, everyone has doubts. Those who say, I don't believe anything, they have doubts. Those who say, I believe, they have doubts. I can see that even in our recruits for Bhakti Bhavan. It's not that immediately, oh, yes, Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, this is exactly what my grandparents want me to do. No, they have doubts at first. And for some time, while they say that they are believing, yes, we are accepting this bhakti path, still, there are doubts mixed in. Similarly, those who don't believe anything, they're plagued by doubts from time to time. Is this all that there is? I mean, maybe there's something else. This is the nature of this present age. Everyone's cage is rattled, so to speak. Everyone is disturbed. But you get over that as a devotee by properly hearing the transcendental knowledge. You develop rock-solid experience. And so this is what Prahlad is telling his schoolmates. I heard it from Narada Muni. Because they wanted to know. You didn't meet Narada Muni in school, it's obvious, because no one like Narada Muni can infiltrate our school. So how did you get this knowledge from Narada Muni? And Prahlad explained, it was while I was within the womb. Similarly, Shukadeva Goswami, he gives his experience in the second canto of Bhagavatam. He said, I was certainly situated in transcendence. He was Brahman realized. Yet, upon hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he made further progress beyond the platform of Brahman realization to Bhagavan realization. So he gives himself as an example of someone who was situated beyond material nature, but not yet attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as he heard enough from his father, Vyasadeva, he decided to come out of the womb. Otherwise, he stayed in the womb for 16 years. Any lady would like to carry a child for 16 years? Sukadeva Goswami is thinking, why should I come out? That's disturbing Brahman realization. Inside the womb, outside the womb, it's all Brahman, it's all the same. Why should I make a distinction? If I make a distinction, it means I'm not Brahman realized. It's all one. Why should I think that outside the womb is better? I'll stay in. But when he heard the glories of Bhagavatam recited by his father Vyasadeva, he decided that's the reason to come out. And the Shastra says, as soon as he was born, he left home. No reformatory procedures like Gayatri Mantra, nothing. No Varnashram Dharma. He just left home immediately after birth. His father is calling out to him, oh my son, oh my son. What is all that Vyasadeva got in return? Echoes from the trees. Oh my son, oh my son. What do those echoes mean? If you want to know the details, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out, the echoes are coming from the trees. The trees themselves are saying, oh my son, because Shukadeva Goswami is dear to all living entities. So the trees are telling Vasudeva, he's not only your son, he's our son too. He's dear to all living entities. So therefore, when Vyasadeva would call out, oh my son, the trees would reply, oh my son, oh my son. These are the ways of extraordinary personalities. You're going to hear how this child in the womb that Lord Kapildeva is describing, in spite of all the pain, is actually going to pray, I don't want to go out. Why? Because the illusory energy is waiting for me. At least while I'm in the womb, I can remember my existential situation. I can remember my relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose expansion as a super soul is directing all animate and inanimate objects. I remember all this. Earlier he talked about the Supreme Personality of Godhead who walks upon the earth. The Acharyas say that in that prayer, the child in the womb is referring directly to Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, in his appearance on the earth with Balaram. So the child's remembering all this. This special child, not every child. And so ultimately this child is going to say, I don't want to go outside the womb. As horrible as life is in the womb, I'm remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if I go out, an ocean of Maya awaits me. Let me stay. But as you'll hear, nature, material nature, will take its course and the child will be born, will be pushed out of the womb. Where else do we get such knowledge? This is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. It defies material circumstances, defies material knowledge. It gives us information of what is beyond our senses. And that way, with such information, our life can be truly successful. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya instructed, what? Before you are liberated, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and after you are liberated, go on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions, comments from our seniors? Chanji Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you give the example of this scan. The baby in the womb is responding to sound.
Yes.
The example of Prabhupada Maharaj in the womb. How much is the soul in the womb receiving the sound vibration? Is it dependent on the conduit of the mother's hearing?
The way that Srila Prabhupada explains Prahlad is that because of Prahlad's seriousness, he was able to hear. In other words, the super soul is in everyone's heart. The super soul is there in Prahlad's heart. When you are so serious to be Krishna conscious, the super soul helps you. Even in spite of what we would call overpowering material circumstances. So Prahlad had that determination, whereas the mother didn't have that determination. She heard, but she couldn't remember. And of course, you're also dealing with Narada Muni. So you have two things. You have the speaker and you have the hearer. When both are so potent, amazing things can happen. Ramai Swami.
Before that even, when Hiranyakashipu was practicing his austerities, Lord Brahma was very worried. And Narada Muni and Parvati Muni went there to distract Hiranyakashipu, and when Hiranyakashipu was standing on his tippy toes, they were there and they were chanting Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana. So he broke his tapasya and went, although he vowed to do 10,000 years of tapasya, still that he was so disturbed by that he went back home and went to his wife Kayavi. And she was surprised that you said you were going to go for 10,000 years. What happened? So then he told about the birds and what they were chanting. And then he had union with her. And in that union, he still remembered that chanting. So apart from what Maharaj was saying about the seriousness of Prahlad Maharaj, that a special living entity was attracted into the womb of Kayadri, because even Hiranyakashipu was such an asura, still he was thinking of Narayan. So that attracted also that living entity of Prahlad Maharaj. So that's a little bit extra to what Maharaj is trying.
Anything else? Yes.
I have two questions. One is regarding intelligence. So you said this soul, this fortunate soul, is very intelligent. So how do we get that intelligence? I'm not so intelligent. How do I try to become intelligent?
First of all, think about shaping your lifestyle so that there's maximum receptivity for the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His representatives. This is why bhakti is not so much about religious belief, it's about shaping your life so that it becomes favorable for Krishna. When Krishna sees that you're serious, within your heart, He acts in such a way that although you can't understand what's happening, nevertheless, you start making spiritual advancement. Remember what Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami when Sanatana Goswami first appeared in Varanasi at the door of Chandrasekhar Acharya. Lord Chaitanya, upon their first encounter there, told him, Krishna is in your heart acting in a very grave way. In other words, you can't see how Krishna is arranging, but he's there noticing your seriousness. And according to the seriousness of your desire, Krishna makes arrangements for you to make spiritual advancement. And that same super soul in the heart is very pleased just by your hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Shinvatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Just by your hearing about Krishna, the Lord in the heart becomes pleased and cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from your heart. So remember, the source of all knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness is the super soul in the heart. Even if you want to forget Krishna, you need the help of the super soul. This is how dependent we are. We can't even get Krishna out of our life without his help. This is what it means to be tiny and dependent. Whatever you want to remember or forget, you're reliant on the super soul. But we think it's all about me and my material intelligence. What is my IQ? How did I do on the test for IIT? No, it's all about how much you please the super soul in the heart. Because that Paramatma is the gatekeeper, so to speak, of what you remember and what you forget. I could give you examples if there were more time, but let's see if someone else has a question. Prabhu Das.
The simplest or the easiest way to defeat the nuns?
Oh. You can't assume that they're looking for answers. They're not. You can't be like some evangelical Christian preacher. I've got answers for you. Because people aren't looking for answers. It requires some skill and some art. How to put the transcendental experience of Krishna consciousness under their nose so that they themselves start nibbling. Put the experience under their nose and let them start to nibble on their own. And then they think, oh, this is all my idea. There are persons who want the answers, but not everyone these days, especially these days. They think, my life is full. I have significance. I've got meaning. It's not that they're running around like, oh, I need the answers. Do you have the answer? What do you mean? I'm living the answer. It's all about me. It's all about me and my own meaning. You find meaning through Krishna. I find meaning through surfing. Well, what's the difference? You know, you do your thing. I do mine. Nevertheless, Krishna consciousness is the superior sense experience. You introduce them to that somehow or other. All right, it's getting late. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.